Well, the title of today's message is called Pray Up and Speak Up from Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn there now. And I'm going to ask us to read this together. I have the New American Standard Version, so if you have that copy, you can read out of your own copy, but also the words are on the screen. So this is our particular scripture for today. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Let's lift our voices and read this together. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Thank you. Well, this morning, before we go through this verse line by line, I actually want to give you an illustration of someone who's been, we've all been called, but one particular person who's been called to live out these verses. So I'm going to ask Tiffany Sung to come on up. Tiffany is with Crew. You may have heard of Crew as Campus Crusade for Christ. They changed their name about a year ago. Come on up here, Tiffany, and you can be seated. You're going to need this, so thank you. Tiffany's on staff at Bowling Green State University with Crew and the International Student Ministry mission of that called Bridges International. So I'm not going to say anything else because I want her to tell us exactly what she does. But Tiffany's one of our supported missionaries, and I wanted you to hear from her what she does and how God called her in her life. Now, it's pretty funny, behind the scenes, we've changed the date from her being here, I don't know, like three or four times, so she's been really flexible on when we could have her here, so we're glad that you're finally here. Why don't you sit down, and we'll get started. I'll give you this, too, as you can go through your PowerPoint, too, so let me turn it on there for you. There you go. Then just advance that way. Why don't you just, to get us started, okay. Tell us where you're from originally and what were your religious beliefs growing up?
Okay. please bear with my English because I don't use, you know, public speech English too often.
But you have great English, by
thanks.
The way. You do.
Okay. So, by the way, Tiffany is not my real name, but in Taiwan, when we go to English class, English teacher will pick an English name for us. So my original name's Ingwei, if you want to try that. Okay, so this is where I'm from. I'm from Taiwan. And from the central, the orange part, so it's kind of small, but it's called Nantou. And it's surrounded by mountains. And I think that's what I miss the most here in Ohio. No mountains.
Yeah. No mountains here.
Yeah. And so as you see, actually, it's like a modern city. In Taiwan, it's really modern. But because of spiritual influence and the culture, the tradition, you can see temples everywhere. I think the one on the left side actually is a shelter. But I believe on the right side, there will be some idols inside of it. So every time when people pass by, they were just going to pray and to worship a little bit. And even now, because I was the only believer in my family. So even now, my home in Taiwan, we still have a shrine where we worship our ancestor, and my family still does that. I just find the statistics, so 70%, 72% traditional beliefs. I think that's in general, like I grew up with that beliefs too. It's not like just one religion, but it's like mixed with like Confucianism, Buddhism, Taoism. So I would say it's more like a culture thing, mm-hmm. rather than like people thinking about like their faith. Because I think before I came here, I never thought about who I worship to and mm-hmm. why I worship, but I just grew up with it. And we also, as you see, we have Christians there too, Christianity, but it's still like minority. I just want to clarify that maybe you heard a lot from like men in China, they are like really restricted or people got persecuted. But actually, we have religious freedom in Taiwan. Okay. But I think just because of the strong cultural influence, so Christianity hasn't been so popular or the gospel hasn't been that known yet by mm-hmm. far. So we have all kind of religions, but I would say in general, most people you found, they will have like a traditional beliefs. Oh, I'm sorry. You can ask the next question.
My next question for you was, what brought you to the United States from Taiwan?
So that's the picture, actually. Yeah. So actually, I didn't know about Bowling Green at all. I never heard of it when I was in Taiwan. And Ohio, I have like no connections either, but 2005, I came to North Carolina for a summer music festival. I played the violin, and I met my teacher. She's in the middle, and she teaches in Bowling Green. So after I graduated from college, she just recruited me to come to the States and to study with her. And so I got my master's degree in music performance in Bowling Green. That's my graduation recital. Yeah.
I just thought of this morning. I showed you how you bring your violin this morning. You could have played for us. That would have been awesome. So
I haven't been able to practice for a while. Maybe next time.
What brought you to know Christ then? What did God do to bring you to know him as Savior?
Yeah. Actually, I just thought about the verse Isaiah the other day when I was thinking about doing this presentation. In Isaiah, God says that I took you from the end of the earth and from its father's corners I call you. And I feel that's really true. Like, you know, before I came, I didn't know about Jesus, you know, thousands of miles away from Taiwan to Bowling Green, a small town, and where I heard the gospel and received Jesus. So it's a really long story. I just put it in like 5 points, and hopefully that can give you an overview of it. So actually, like, when I was looking back, I went to Catholic middle school and high school for 6 years. And I went to so many like Catholic mass, but I never get it, and just never like really know what they were doing. I always fell asleep in the choir and all that. But in my college, like throughout the 4 years, there's some like missionary, I don't even know, like they just ran into me or I ran into them. I don't know, like they just talked to me on the street. I think that happened like maybe 4 or 5 times. Wow. And I always feel that's really like awkward. And so in my senior year, just like a few months before I came to the States, I was waiting for my friend to go to dinner together in front of the post office. And there was one girl who came to me and say, "Guy's looking for you." I was thinking, oh, that's really creepy. Like, you know, like how you talk to a stranger like that. And so I just ignore her. As soon as my friend came, I said, "Oh, sorry, got to go now." And so I just ignore her. And she followed me for a little bit. And so we were talking, me and my friend was thinking, oh, Christian people are really weird. Like, they do this on the street. But that night, before I went to bed, I don't know why I suddenly have this mind. I mean, must be the Holy Spirit. I just came to mind and said, what if that was true? What if God is really looking for me? Mm. What should I do to respond? And I just thought about it, and I kind of got scared. I was thinking, yeah, how if God's waiting for me? And so I call my, it's the second point, I call my freshman roommate, because she's the only Christian I know. And I just call her, I say, what do you think? Like, do you think God's really looking for me? Should I go to church with you this Sunday? And I just asked her so many questions. I think we talked until 3 a.m. Wow. She was really patient with me with all my questions about Bible and about Jesus. And I don't know why, somehow I just came to a point and I say, so do you think that even before I knew God, he was always with me and loved me? And he said, yeah, actually, Bible says God first loved us. And so she said, maybe you can start praying. If you don't feel comfortable to go to church, you don't need to. And then a few months later, I came to Bowling Green. And so before I came, my aunt just said, if you need help, you just go to church, because people are really nice there. And so it's really true. Like, when I came to Bowling Green, it's a really loving Christian community. They can take care of international students. It's an organization called Global Connections. And I just noticed that, like, they just, like, give, but they didn't ask us for anything back. And I think that's really strange to me, because, like, people just keep giving, you know, give me furniture, took me to find my apartment, and give me rides to grocery shopping and all that, but never asked me for anything. And in the end, they always say it's because of Jesus. So I thought, I really maybe go to church with them to check it out. And the first time I went to church, actually, it just, like, overwhelmed, because I think it was because of the Spirit too, like I was just like bawling and feel back home. I just feel actually I belong there. And you know, when people are worshiping, I just like crying so bad. And so really quick, like people share gospel with me and just feel everything makes sense to me, you know, like that's the best answer I hear about my life. That's the whole purpose of it. So I got baptized in my second semester in Bowling Green.
Wow, yeah. Neat. So God was really even working on you before to prepare you.
Yeah,
to,
just a few months.
When you arrived in Bowling Green.
So I just feel like he has a big plan, you know, yeah, before I came
absolutely.
Here. Yeah.
So what led you into ministry then?
Mm-hmm.
What was that next step?
Yeah, so actually after that, maybe just 2 months, I left because I have so many doubts and questions after that, and also I got into a relationship. And so I went to New York. It's Bridges International, the organization I'm working for now. I went to their conference, but I didn't know, you know, that's for like outreach or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just went because I want to go to New York. And so I skipped like most sessions. I just want to go to New York. But like one session I went in, it's like really random. They were talking about just maybe the topic today and mm-hmm. just like recruiting people to join their work. And I was thinking, oh, I'm in the wrong place because, you know, I was not really following God at that time. But when they were playing the video, it's like a Chinese students or Chinese missionaries, they are sharing gospel in like most Muslim countries. Mm. And when I was watching the video, I just feel like there's a voice say, you should be one of them. I call you to be one of them. I was thinking wow. that must be a joke because I was not walking with God. How can you choose me to do this? And so I thought about the second part of Isaiah say, I said, you're my servant. I've chosen you and have not rejected you. And which is really true. It's not because, you know, as Paul say, like, it's not because I do anything right, and also because I'm the worst of the sinners, and but because God have a different plan to redeem my life and wow. to a different purpose. Because before that, like, my plan was just come here for 2 years. This is my fifth year, by the way. I didn't want to stay in Bowling Green for that long. This is my fifth year. So I want to come 2 years, finish my study, and then go to get my doctoral degree, and then go home to teach, to earn money, and then give my family a comfortable life. That's been the whole plan since I grew up. Mm. You know, like my brain was washed, like this is the best way. So when I heard that, I was thinking, I don't know how can I tell my parents because I was the only believer in my whole family. But later, God just used different ways to show me that this is the way. And the last one, the final one, which was my biggest fear, is like to disappoint or dishonor my parents. That time my mom was here, when she first came, she said, I think your life seems really different. By the way, at that time, I started involving with Bridget Internationals, but at the same time, I was also teaching in Toledo for like violin and piano just to earn some money. But at that time, my mom said, my life seems really different. She said, maybe this is like my happiest year ever she ever saw. Mm. And she wondered why. And she also got to know some of the Christian family, so she got interested in that. So she said, if you want to do this full time, I will support you. But my dad was like react really bigly. He said, you know, you should just go to get to your PhD degree and just to, you know, like become a musician, play in orchestra, or teach, become a professor and all that. Mm-hmm. But later in April, I think I already passed the application deadline. But one day he left the message to my mom, and that's my mom to tell me, which by the way is our culture. Like father shouldn't be so kind. I don't know, it's like there's like a gap, you know, like mm-hmm. respectful, high, so he doesn't say something sweet to me usually. Mm. But that day he said to my mom, he said, tell your daughter she should do whatever she's called to do now. If there's really a God, I shouldn't feel worried about it. I just feel, wow, I never heard my dad talk about God in his life. So I just feel if God can work in my dad's heart like that, I should trust him to, you know, do this job.
Yeah. Mm. Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Paving the way for you.
Yeah.
Now that you're on staff with Crew, what do you do with Crew?
So actually, I would just want to talk a little bit about mm-hmm. what we do. I mean, why we do that. It's because when international students, they come here, first it's because they are lonely and they really need friends and community and love and care. And also because it's strategic. First of all, it's because many of them are from close countries. I think the top three is international student versus China, and then India, and then the South Arabian and South Korea. And so, you know, it's hard to stay missionary there sometimes because of the culture there. Mm-hmm. But when they come here, we have this freedom to share with them. And here's another strategic point that there are some people like, how to read his name? I don't even know.
looks like Assam Sharaf.
Okay.
I gave it a shot anyway.
So he got his degree in Purdue, and then Kofi Annan got his degree in MIT. So actually, when we came here, it's because when we receive a degree from the States, we usually can get a higher position after I go back to our country. Mm-hmm. And so usually those people are really influential in like government, education, and all that. So we just, you know, think about if they all come to know Jesus here and really want to live their life for God, how powerful that will be.
Yeah.
And they are here right now. Actually, there are 750,000 international students from 120 countries in the States right now. Mm-hmm. And it's still growing every year. We have like 700 in Bowling Green only. So we provide spiritual resources, service activities, and social networking opportunities. And this is our weekly life group. We call it life group, actually it's a Bible study for international students. And what's special about this is like half of them, they never read Bible before and they don't know Jesus. But they just come to study the gospel with us. And then we just ask them questions, ask them what they think, and just tell them who Jesus is according to the scriptures. And so this picture is people from India, China, South Korea, in the States, in Malaysia. And then I started a bake group this semester, because many people ask me, like international students, how you make dessert? And I was thinking, oh, that's true, like we don't bake at home. Uh-huh. I learned all this after I came to the States. So I thought that'd just be a fun opportunity for them to meet like my Christian friends. Mm-hmm. So I asked a Christian family to host this for us once a month.
Great.
And then also this is our monthly potluck and discussion. You can see we have a huge crowd this time. That's our Easter potluck. So they just bring food to share, and then we talk about Easter, talking about Jesus' death and resurrection. And then usually it's a good opportunity for me or other staff to follow up with them, to ask them, you know, what they think and how do you think about, what do you think about discussion? And then we can share the gospel with them. Oh. And then also I organized a retreat for Chinese students last fall. And also just for evangelism purpose, but we also had lots of fun in the lake house. Cool. And the conference I mentioned where I heard my calling, now I encourage and bring students to come to the conference and make sure they don't skip any sessions. I've skipped so many in the past. And this past year, the office also asked me to encourage other students, international students, to consider to do this internship. Mm-hmm. And to, reach people. And I just feel that's amazing. You know, 3 years ago, I was the one who didn't want to go to any session. And now I'm the one recruiting students. Yeah. And the last one, I just want to say, this past December, my mom and my brother, they were here with me. So I invite them to come to the conference with me, which was in Washington. Mm. And my mom received Jesus there.
Awesome.
So praise now
the Lord.
I have praise a sister Lord. In Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
awesome. Yeah. Cool. The international student ministry is incredibly strategic. Even in Finley, there are hundreds of international students that come. I know there's a huge Saudi Arabian group that comes, and among others, too. So do you know why we're excited about Tiffany and what God's doing through her ministry? It's just incredibly strategic there at Bowling Green. Lastly is how can we pray for you in your ministry?
Actually, the time today still work, but next week won't work. It's because my dad just arrived yesterday.
Okay.
He just come to visit because my brother's graduating this Friday from high school.
Okay.
And he's going to University of Finley next in the fall to be a freshman.
Wow.
And so I'm just really praying that he will have find a community here who are Christians, and maybe he will have a Christian roommate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And also I'm praying for my mom and my dad because my mom just became a believer. So I hope after she goes back, she will also find a church there and even just bring my dad to church too. Because I really believe God will bring salvation to my family, even just, you know, from my mom. And actually my aunt also became a believer a few months ago in California.
Awesome.
And so I just feel God has a whole plan. But for myself, I just decided to join staff, like full-time staff, next year.
Okay.
So I need to go to my new staff training in Florida in June. And also I need to raise support again.
Okay.
And I just feel that was always my biggest fear because I don't know that many people in the States and don't know who to ask. But God has provided last year, so I think I should trust him.
Right.
Will provide this year. And actually, Finley Evangelical Free Church was the final supporter to cover my rest last year. Mm-hmm. I'm really thankful because I knew nobody in this church. Mm-hmm. So I feel it was totally God to bring me here. Absolutely. So thank you for having me today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, let's pray together, okay? Let's lift those up. Lord God, we thank you for your ministry through Tiffany. Thanks for your work in all of our lives, but especially through her. Lord, you call us from the ends of the earth to serve you. I do pray for her ministry at Bowling Green that you'll continue to watch over her and bless her, give her energy on days that are difficult, and help her, Lord, to continue to be bold for you. Among students who may have never even heard your name, we pray for many to know you and trust you as Savior. Lord, pray for her family, her brother, to know Christ as he comes to the U.S. to study. I pray that you provide everything he needs, people and even a church, and open his heart to trust you. Her father also, thank you for your work in his heart, and that he would see Christ in Tiffany and others, and he would, Lord, surrender his heart to you because you love him so much. We also pray, God, for her staff training. You'll bless and watch over her there and give her the tools that she needs to continue to be an effective minister for the gospel. Provide each of her, or every dollar that she needs to be able to live and to minister, Lord. You're the great provider. When you call us, you always provide for us. So inspire faith in her to trust you and provide everything that she needs. Lord, we give you thanks that you are you're on the move in this world, and expand our vision for who you are and what you want to do throughout this entire world, Lord. So we pray for the students who've heard the gospel at Bowling Green that they'll trust you too, and they'll follow you all the days of their lives and make an impact when they go back to their ministries or their hometown, homelands. We love you, Lord, and we thank you this day that we've heard her story and what you're doing in this world. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You want to say something else?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, if you want to know how can you pray for me and receive my updates, there's like a sheet of paper.
Yep. You can leave prayer card out there at the Connection Center.
And if you just want to learn more about our ministry and to see if you have any international friends, you need any resource, just feel free to contact me. Like, we have different languages of Bibles and, like, you know, evangelism tools and all that. So thank you.
Yeah, well, let's encourage Tiffany. Thank you. Thanks, Tiffany. Well, there's the illustration today of the passage that we're going to go through here briefly. And such an encouraging testimony of what God is doing. So God's at work even outside of Findlay, Ohio, which is awesome. Well, let's go through here our passage for today, as we've seen that illustration already. And two actions for us. I know God hasn't just called Tiffany to do the work of evangelism. He's called all of us, and we want to see that today. The first action, if we're going to be ready to be able to minister to others, is we need to pray up. And we saw that in Ephesians 6:18. We see some pretty key points there. We need to understand, first of all, the privilege of prayer, that we get to come before the holy God of all the universe, as finite beings as we are, frail and blemished and depraved, and we get to stand before Almighty Holy God, clean and unblemished, and he's an all-consuming fire, and yet we get to come to Christ, through Christ, to him in prayer. I think of Hebrews 4:16, which says, "Therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So in our passage here, we read that when we come and pray, we can pray about everything. There's not one thing that we can't come to God with or for. It says here, with all prayer and petition. Your version may see with all kinds of prayers and requests, we can come to God. So we need to pray about everything. We also are told that we're to pray all the time in the Spirit. Now, this is talking about praying about in every season or at all times. It's not talking about 24/7 verbalization to God, because, you know, we need to sleep in there at some point, but having that constant attitude of prayer. How many of you on your phones have call waiting? You know, you're on the phone and you hear the beep. Oh, someone's on the other line. I got to click over. Okay. I've heard that illustration. I thought that makes sense, at least as close as we can possibly get. Keeping God on call waiting. So throughout the day, you're constantly clicking over and communicating with him throughout the day in between our tasks. It's a general attitude of prayer. throughout the day. We're also told here that we are to pray attentively. So he says they're praying in the Spirit, which means to be in submission to, following the promptings of the Spirit. So if all of a sudden you're driving down the road and someone's name comes to your mind, out of the blue, like, where'd that come from? Consider that a prompting of the Holy Spirit to be in prayer for them. But to be praying attentively, on the alert, we might say, praying with one eye open, right? So you got one eye closed because you're praying, and the others you're watching out there to see what you need to be praying about. So maybe a text or an email or a Facebook message comes in, or imagine this, someone actually talks to you personally and they share a prayer request with you. You take that up to the Lord and say, okay, I'm ready to be praying throughout the day. So I take their concerns to the Lord in prayer also. We're to pray with perseverance, which means intense effort through a difficult time. You know, praying, it can be hard work. So we got to work at it. We got to be persevering in it. Don't quit, but keep going. But also we need to pray for everyone. Praying on behalf of all the saints, he says here. And so there's three groups here that I believe Paul's pointing out we need to pray for. First of all the saints. That's all Christians. And here at our church, that's why we have community groups and family groups. I encourage you to get into relationships with other Christians because it reflects the biblical value of community. And when you know someone, you can pray for them, which is the greatest thing that we can do for a person. Think of it. You're taking them to Almighty God and saying, Lord, take care of this person. You're unleashing the greatest power there is in the universe for our friends, for our fellow Christians. Also, we're to pray for Christian ministers. And I'll have Jordan put up on the screen there different ministries that we support locally and also internationally. Not all of them are listed up there, but you'll see as you go through. We'd be praying for our ministers. Now that you've heard Tiffany's story, you can be here praying for Tiffany and her ministry. We're going to have a missions display outside in the hallway there on that wall. So as we get the pictures up of the missionaries, you can learn about them, and you can be praying for them in their ministry. God may bring their name to your mind during the middle of the day after you learn about them. You can be praying for them and lifting them up. Also, praying for fellow Christians, Christian ministers. I also want to highlight on the back of your bulletin, there's listed our pastors, staff, elders, and deacons. Use that to pray for us by name, for God's wisdom, protection, boldness to follow his call, to lead the church. It's a huge task. We need your help. We need your prayers. And so praying for Christian leaders also. But then praying for yourself. Notice in verse 19, Paul says, pray on my behalf. So he's a Christian minister, so we pray for Christian ministers, but pray on my behalf. He's saying, I personally need your prayers. And so that leads us into the next action. We need to pray up, we also need to speak up, which is what Paul's getting at. He has two requests here. He says, pray that God will give me the words to say. You ever asked people to pray for that for you? Maybe you've heard in one of your groups, you know, I'm going to visit my cousin in Jersey this week, and, you know, I'm just asking, please pray for the words to say. What should I say when I get there? And so that you can speak it clearly. But then he also says, pray that God will give me the boldness to say the words that I'm supposed to say. It's one thing to get the words right. It's another thing to let them come out of your mouth, right? And so pray for the words to say, Lord, guide my tongue, give me the message, but then also help me to actually speak it with boldness as I ought to speak it, as it is proper for me to speak with confidence, with boldness. Paul says that he's an ambassador in chains. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, he tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making an appeal through us. An ambassador is a spokesperson who delivers a king's message in a foreign land. The spokesperson or the ambassador is not responsible for the message. It didn't originate with him or her, but he's responsible for delivering the message. And that's what we are all about. We're responsible for delivering the gospel message in life. And so to make this a lot more practical for us here in Findlay, Ohio, sitting in our seats, I want to get right down to the street level now as to how we can practice this or carry it out. Three actions. We've talked about praying up and speaking up. Pray for those you want to see come to Christ. In your bulletin, on the outline at the bottom, you have a prayer card. So what you can do is cut this out, write on there the names of the people that you're going to be praying for to come to know Christ. So we got to pray first. Speak to God about men before we speak to men about God, okay? So write down the names of the people there. Be praying for them. Put it in your car, put it in your nightstand or in your Bible, wherever you're going to be often, and you can see that. And lift these people up and be pleading with the Lord to be at work in their hearts. So we'll be praying for these people. Also, we need to know the message. If we're going to speak the message, we have to know the message. So what is the gospel message? Paul refers to it here as the mystery of the gospel. By the way, it's not a mystery anymore. It's been revealed. But what is the gospel? I wrote down three verses there. In your bulletin, and there's many other verses you could use, but very simply, 1 Corinthians 15:3 is one of those. Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel. He was raised again from the dead, it goes on to say. Romans 6:23 is a wonderful way to be able to share the gospel. You should have that one memorized. It says, for the wages of sin is death. There's the bad news. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's the good news. All you need to know is know that verse, Romans 6:23, and you've got the gospel. You're carrying it in your heart and it can come out of your mouth. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, so God's love, that he gave his one and only son, he gave that sacrifice, that whoever believes in him, I know this verse by the way, that whoever believes in him, it's like Christianity 101, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. So we're spared from hell, we're given eternal life through Christ. You know that one, you know the gospel. So pray it, know it, and we need to speak it out. You know, oftentimes, we know what we're supposed to say, and we know that we are to say it. It's that middle in between part is how do you get to the point where you can say it. So one thing you can do with your friends and family is just say, you know, can I ask you a question? So what you've done there is you've made a transition in the subject matter, and you're saying in a tone that sounds a little bit more serious than maybe what you've been talking about, and it's given you an open door when they say yes to say, then you could say, how much do you know about Christ? Or you ever thought about where you go when you die? Or what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And so then you can begin the discussion. You can say, well, I learned a Bible verse in church the other day, John 3:16. The pastor couldn't quote it, but I can, okay? And so then you can, John 3:16 says, what do you think about that, all right? Now here's some practical resources or tangible resources to get your hands on. When we come up with a new church sermon series, we make invitations. Those invitations are for us to say to our friends, hey, would you like to come to church with me? Now, my goal in our church services is to make it a place where people who don't typically go to church or maybe they're not a believer would still feel comfortable and loved and accepted. I try to speak in a way that is clear and simple, but also I try to speak in a way that builds believers up. And so we want to have an environment where people feel welcome so that they can come. And I hope that you feel comfortable to invite your friends to this church so that they feel like they're loved and accepted. If you don't feel that way, please let me know and we'll see what we can do. Okay, but this is a great place to bring people so that they're cared for, they hear the message about Christ in love, but also in truth. And so that's one way. But out in the lobby, there's a table with some gospel resources on it. First of all, there's this booklet called How Good Are You? This is something you can just hand out, clearly proclaims the gospel. We have these New Testaments, which are meant for seekers, called How to Find God. That's a really great book. It has some, because it's the Bible. But also, there's articles in here from simple questions that they answer. There's also what's called this EvangiCube, which is good for use with anybody, but also for children. It has pictures on it. There's an instruction little booklet in the packet that it comes in. So it folds out sort of like a Rubik's Cube, and you can see pictures on it. It helps you to be able to explain the gospel to people, okay? I just ask that you take what you will use and use what you take. So you can go out there and check it out, and maybe there's a resource that would be appropriate for a particular friend that you have. There's some other books out there too. But I also want to talk to you who are tech savvy. If you have one of these, like an iTouch or an iPod or an iPhone, there are gospel presentation apps on these things. So the other night, I was laying in bed and I downloaded a bunch of different apps. One of them is from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. They have a gospel app, a gospel track called Steps to Peace with God right there on your iPhone. Okay, so all you need to do is download that thing when you're traveling across the country or wherever. pull out your iPhone, and you can just have a discussion with somebody. Say, hey, let me show you something. And then you can walk them through the gospel app right there on your phone. Okay, so I know many of you have those. And so download that, and you'll be equipped to share the gospel. There's also one from Awana, which is a children's program. It has a child-friendly gospel presentation on there with pictures and everything that would capture people's attention. Okay, so those are some tools that we can be using to be reaching out. So praying up starts with prayer. Lord God, give me your heart for people, your heart for the nations. Open doors and then open my mouth so that the message that's inside of me would come out, okay? And so these tools can help us to be reaching out and reaching others. I want to give you just two or three other quick examples here of people, real people in our church who are reaching out just through their daily activities. I think of one man who's a businessman. He takes gospel tracts with him, little booklets. And so when he's on the plane or meeting with clients or whatever, he'll say, here, let me give you this book, okay? And then maybe he can follow up with them later if he has more interactions with them. That's a simple way to do it. There's a teacher in our congregation who tries to use opportunities with students when it's appropriate to share the gospel with them and encourage them. Some of his other colleagues, too. It's constantly on his mind to be reaching out for people, to people. But also, there's a woman in our church who has a burden for her family and friends. She started a Bible study to be able to introduce them to Christ. So she's going through the book of 1 John, and they're just sitting down reading through it and answering questions. It took a little bit of guts to get that started, but it's making a big impact. So reaching out to our friends, family, neighbors, people are lost. They need to know Christ before it's too late. That's the truth. That's the truth. And so we need to up the ante here with how we reach out to people. Paul felt that burden. Christians need to feel that burden, even right here in Findlay, Ohio. And so I hope that today Tiffany's story has been an encouragement to us, and the scriptures certainly are an encouragement to us to be obedient, to be reaching out. The bottom line is that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and we need to be communicating with the Father, getting his message, and then going out and delivering his message to this foreign land so that we can bring people home with us to heaven when all is said and done. So that's our encouragement today. Those two actions, pray up and speak up. Let's pray together. Lord, the call is clear. I just want to ask that you would forgive me for the times when I've been lazy in my Christianity. Help me to open my mouth more often to share the gospel. In your goodness, Lord, I've made it too hard. I pray for all of us too, Lord God, that we would, you'd light a fire under us to reach out to people, to reach our family, friends, coworkers, and to take a chance for you and to see what you might do for the gospel, to bring people to know you. Lord, I pray that you would make us a church that just boils with evangelism and brings people deeper in their relationship with you too. Let us be a church that honors you by carrying out the Great Commission. Lord, we're going to sing this song about taking our lives and let it be consecrated unto you. I pray that would be true. That would be true. And we take this message to heart today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.